inside, because then you get to know how to read it inside. Okay, we're holding here in Igris, in Igris Yud Aleph. Ein horaya mitis rak imishkif ala reishis vala achris. Ve ein hamishpat emes im loy rushma ein al mocho es kol ofik beskir achas. So he says here an incredibly deep point. He just starts out a lot like this, just wondering who he's writing it to. He says, ein horaya mitis rak imishkif ala reishis vala achris. When you see something, you don't see the truth unless you've seen the beginning and the end. In other words, a partial truth is not true. When you ask somebody an opinion about something, right or wrong, good or bad or whatever it is, you can't have it by saying one thing. I've been asked a few times on questions and answer sessions about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, the politics, whatever. And I tell them, a snapshot is never a true picture. A video is a lot more emes. Don't quote me in saying that I said you should see videos. That wasn't the point of the discussion. What I mean is, when you see a matzav basher hu sham, you don't really see an emes. You need to see how it got there and what it is. If a person asks himself, let's give an example. A person that wakes up in the morning has to make a decision, should he go to work or not? One. Two, a person gets up in the morning and has to make a decision, should he learn or not? So let's look at the process in each case. A person sits in the morning, gets up in the morning, should I go learn or not? Person says to himself, it's snowy outside, it's dry, it's gray. I can't imagine my chavrus is going to come today. So I'm not in the mood to come, and I'm not going to come. That's the way we look at it. Has a job, and he wakes up in the morning. So he says to himself, you know, if I'm not going to do it today, I'm going to have to do it tomorrow. If I don't show up today, I'm going to have a lot of problems. And a person has a much bigger perspective on it. A person, when he makes decisions that are real and true, needs to take in everything. The Ein HaMishpat Emes, and your judgment call is not right, unless able to see the entire picture in one shot. The mind enjoys thinking through something, and in that pleasure he begins to, through the pleasure of thinking through something, that's when he gets to the emes. In other words, and this is a theme that he keeps stressing time and again. I think it's one of the most important things that we can get out of him, and this is a point that is him. So long as we look at learning as a chore, and in its chore aspect, we're never going to want to do it. Let's give a marshal to it. If someone were to ask you, would you like to stand in the heat for 3 hours doing a lot of work? And the answer would be absolutely not. But guys do it in basketball. They're working hard, they're in the sun, they're doing stuff that's repetitious, monotonous, and so on. But at some point they get the thrill of a game. They get that thrill of having to play. And once you get the thrill of it, you're into it. And it can become thrilling. It's not that you're doing anything else. You're not sitting back and eating an ice cream. You're working hard, but somehow that transfers. When you break your head on going through a difficult piece of Gemara again and again, if you only see it as a chore, at a frumkeit you can't do it too often. But it's a pleasure when you begin to feel it that way, you begin to see it that way. And that's why he says, because the seichel enjoys thinking through a problem, working through a problem, you get to the emes because you see it through and through. Bach Chavakuk v'miral achas v'tzayim was a yichya. Chavakuk was maimir al achas. He said all of Torah stands at tzadik was a yichya. Kvar herich b'sefer misil seshorim ad kama sha'odim seizatz al maisa. The Mesil Sesharim writes about how a person is inconsistent in what he does. What we claim to do and what we actually do is not the same. And we're embarrassed that we do things. Do you believe that there's a bunch of them? Yes. Do you believe that he sees everything? Yes. If I were watching you, would you eat without a bracha? No. So you believe that Rasha is watching you, you believe that he's going to hold you accountable, but you eat without a bracha. But if I was standing there, and sach hakol I'm flesh and blood, you wouldn't. So isn't that a contradiction? Aren't you fooling yourself? Amru Chazal, heichid dami apikairis zesh efsa asik betoy ben oisik. An apikairis is someone that could be oisik and is not oisik. So he says, l'chura iyis asikis betoy rak chet masi. Ve'ekos of others, v'chet b'shaval taisa. Why is that considered an aveira that the person is that is apikoris? He didn't do something, just like a person didn't eat matzah. Not an apikoris. Why? He says, but if you look at it in a bigger picture, and so the Chazanish said before, some things, if you want to figure out how to look at it, look at the big picture. So learning Torah is an apikoris is not for the Maisa Aveira. But he says, if you look at it in the big picture, that's where you get a problem. A person has parnasa in the amount of Hashem Baruch Hu decreed. And every single day it keeps going away. Every person's existence in this world is finite. And the clock ticks. In other words, every day a person needs to get up in the morning and say, I have one day less left in my life. Ha'olam azeh domo leprozdor. And every day that you learn, it moves you forward from being a behemoth-like person to an understanding person. Each day moves you a step forward. Nothing has been mikra. V'chidas tumas olam uloya guf and nefesh. Pistreinu is alles v'tersh v'al peh. So he says, if you ask yourself, what is the person's development from a Baal Chaymer to Baal Seichel, it's through Torah. So he says, Nesinas Mokim Machshava. If a person allows himself to think, Lichyos Kalayom Chayed Yaitash Hashikrinus. So he says, let's say a person allows him to fantasize how enjoyable it is to hang around doing nothing. He says, it's allowing a bikursus in your thought process. Let's talk about this. Let's think about this. Everybody has his weaknesses, and everybody has his problems, and nobody is asked. To be held accountable for things that he can't do or can't do. But what you fantasize really, really makes a difference. I want to use a mashal for a minute. There was once in Eretz Yisrael a terrible story where a kid got up and killed his parents, and it was terrible. And from newspaper wrote an editorial, and they said, we certainly can't accuse fried people, this and that. You know, it's an aberration. It's crazy. But he said, let me tell you something that it does say. He says, in Europe, in a frum town, there used to be a town mishugana. Every town had its mishugana. There wasn't a town without at least one mishugana. Some towns were mahadar on two or three, but at least one. So what did a mishugana do? He would stand in the middle of the street. and he would sing chazanis and demand that everybody come listen to his wonderful Kol Nidre. Or a guy would get up on a bima and say a drasha, and so on. So they said, you know, a meshugana does, he lets his fantasies loose in no self-control. So in Europe, the fancy was to be the chazan, to be the rav, to be this. So to go and to kill people, and it's not the act, but the fantasy. If a person says to himself, you know, I'm laid back, I can't get my act together, and so on and so forth, but my fantasy is I could sit and sweat 10 hours learning. And a person really, he wishes he could do that, the way a kid wishes he could be a great baseball player or whatever it is, rock star. Then the person's shittas and days are right. But if the person's fantasy of a good life is hanging around doing anything, so he says over here, he's allowing minus into his machshava. And he includes himself in the company of the people that say, let's eat all day. One of my personal peeves is, you know, when you have a coffee house, we have a place to, you know, sometimes a person is thirsty and needs to eat something, so you go to a place to eat. Okay. Sometimes you need you need to meet somebody. There's no place you can meet somebody, so you sit down at a coffee in a Starbucks. Okay, makes sense. But a lot of times it's like just a place to chill out, to hang out, to chill out, and so on and so forth. If that's your sense of life, if the chilling out is not a necessity, just because you've reached breaking point, but it's kind of, this is what you look forward to, the happy hour. Going to a bar to have a happy hour is like he says, it's kfira in the world of machshavas. To imagine hanging out and drinking yourself senseless a bit as the moment of happiness, that's kfira. If you have to do it because you can't stay away from it, if a person, let's say, is stressed out, he needs to unrelax, that's not the problem. The problem is the understanding of what things are. And he says, what's his human in Russia? And the Chazanish is dealing with a very central point of personality. Of course, if you did a mitzvah, you get tzchar, and if you're not there, you get punishment. This is the of Russia. But if your mindset is, you know, I wish I could spend my day just hanging out around the bar, shooting the breeze, or coffee, or whatever it is, then the person, his ashkof is off. It's wrong. Mitzad is atzmius. Imisha efshe lasik. If a person can learn an hour and he's not sick, guf havera b'maise kal. So the avera itself is in the world of maise is not big. V'nyonei la'oimek seira neshama apikarsis. But its content, in other words, what does it say about the person? That's apikarsis. Mashveli askom neshama chazonokim. How low is the idea that a person is willing to be a nobody in ruchnias? So in terms of a person's she'ifa, is really that what determines the person? A musician is somebody who desires to be in the world of music. A Talmud Chachma is someone who desires to be in the world of Chachma. How much we're able to accomplish, that's the tip of the iceberg. The real issue is who you are, what you are, and so on. I once had a conversation with somebody that moved me tremendously. There's a person in Yerushalayim, in Beis Yisrael, near the Mir Yeshiva. He has a small dry goods store. Now, small, it's like the Yeshiva Gdola office here. I don't know, maybe 10 times as big as that. That's how big it is. It's very small. It's I talked about the Yeshiva Gdola office where I sit with all this stuff piled in. He has a tiny thing. Very successful. You know, he and his father owned it. They know exactly what they want to order for people. It's a successful business. A little business successful keeps him going well and so on. About many years ago, he bought this stuff. I used to go in there. He asked me if I know of of a store, biggest store that he can go into in Azabir, where I live, two blocks down. So I told him some big store there, and then he had a problem because he had a sister living there. It wasn't sure if it was good, whatever. He didn't. I don't know, 10, 15 years later, his brother moved out of the neighborhood, and there was no more issue of competition. So I had to go to the store. I said, Moshe, you know, your brother moved out. The store's available. I know he's looking for some rent. Here you have some. He says, you know, I've changed. He said, you know, 10 years ago, I was interested in expanding the business. That was my interest. He said, today, I'm really looking to expand my day. He said, I want to learn more. I want this more. My kids are older. They're mad. I don't need the money. And I'm really looking at it very differently. I'm looking to spend my day productively in Ruchnius. And it was like an insight. It's one thing when you learn in Kolo, so fine. So, okay, that's what you're doing. And this is your life. And so on. But here's somebody who's in business. And it means that you're thinking all day long about how to make the bottom line bigger. And at some point in life, he said, you know, this is no longer where I am today. And I want to... So he says, "Kol milo me milo sa teira yikara mipinim." Every milo you have in teira is more worthy than jewels. Ome kolchaim hazeh. Ome od meod kala abedus akvahisig. Let us mata mata osayekshmiyos. And it's very easy to slip out from what you have and just go downhill. Now he writes also very sharply. Sardi leroyska. I feel it hurts me to see you. Ki hincha yered mata mata. You're going downhill. You're losing any feelings of kedusha and avas haTorah that you have. I suspect that you think the life of a Talmud Chacham and the life of an Am Aretz is the same. I want to stop at this a minute and talk about a point here that really there was. You know, they started Daf HaYomi here 16 years ago, 17 years ago. And one of the... And you know, people come here, they work very hard all day, and they come... And my wife met one of the wives of the people here. And they don't come from a yeshiva background in any sense of the word. Really kind of very, 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 you know, modern, orthodox, / Balbatish type of life. And my wife told me, you know, I admire you. Your husband goes to Daf HaYomi every day. Isn't it hard on you? She said, it's hard. He works all day, and then he runs and eats something, goes back to the Daf HaYomi. It's not so easy for me. But she said, I can't tell you what qualitative difference it made in our lives when he used to come home and slump in front of a TV, or when he goes to yeshiva and learns and davens. It's a different person. There's something there about the life. It affects everything. What you talk about, what you think about, where you want to go to, who your friends are, if you're a more Ruchnistic person. And Ruchnius for us is very, very much identified with our seichel and our das. What we think, understand, know, and so on. Im omnam kol mishpate in al pi maisim rak al pi regesh bilvad. He says, okay, I don't have any evidence, he said, but it's my intuition, and I'd love to hear that I made a mistake. Ach ein ani yochel lifresh mechsev voisei shuspata seif seif mechsev seichel. I must say that I've been affected by what I feel are your thoughts. For days I've been wanting to talk with you. And just I'm so busy and I'm so tired, I don't have the ability to do it. But the things you just wrote or said, I shall see for Hashem al mahalach mashavtecha. That added more to confirm my feelings about it. He reads us in Dabi Dabi, forced me to speak to you. Kamuvi says, "Eineni bolit vole shartaveya. I don't want to just be a guy who nudges you. Ritzoni lefgoa benime levav chadines. I want to move your heart. V'love lezoschav milchamtcha nushim eitzel eva adam nesechaim. And to help you with that milchama with the Yitzhara. A ruach taras should bring out a wellspring of clear waters. Lechadesh rikshei kodesh shkiras haTorah, to renew the argoshes of shkiras haTorah. B'mesira ruya lisaneg al stei chalev haTorah. B'mishne sosav amesruach gvura v'dasi Hashem mitzvah. That's his letter. It's an extraordinary letter. And also, I don't know if you begin to appreciate how much content he puts into how few words, and how beautiful, poetic, how well they're turned, the phrases. It's extraordinarily written. It's a model for bringing out thoughts in crisply with ultimate beauty. Seeing something is only true if you see the beginning and the end. And the judgment is not true. If the eye hasn't painted onto the mind the entire hekif of what it's incredible. I mean, it's incredible. It's okay.
Rabbi,
yes.
How does the beginning of what he wrote tie into that? What he wrote?
So he's writing. He says that the